Have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians, two passages, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Matthew 16. Tonight I want to speak to you on the single greatest ingredient to a great home. The single greatest ingredient to a great home. It's also the single greatest ingredient to greatness. How many of you know who Damian Lillard is? Damian Lillard. He's a guard for the Portland Trailblazers. And this past summer, or summer 2 years ago, is working with Phil Buechner, his longtime coach. And Phil works with a lot of NBA players. So he designed a drill called NBA 100. You'd stand at the three-point line. You'd make as many shots as you can till you miss one. And then you go to a mid-range jumper, not quite the free throw line, but just take a step or two in, just inside the three-point line, and you shoot that until you miss. And so you go all the way around the circle, and the goal was to get to 100 points. And the record was 207 points by another NBA player. Well, Damian Lillard realized he's shorter. He's about 6'1", about my height, and that's short for an NBA player. And 6'1", 6'2". And so he realized that people were starting to get more crowded on him at the three-point line. So he says, I'm going to begin to back up and have a quality shot and make the quality shot 4 or 5 feet farther back from the three-point line. But in order to do that, you have to practice a lot more. So understand the process. You see a problem. You develop a dream. And you put together the effort to get to that dream. So he saw the problem that he was having a more difficult time of shooting his shots, getting them off, because players were covering him more closely. So he had stepped a little bit further back. They couldn't get to him quite as quickly and make a better percentage of shot, even though it was farther away. But it required a lot of practice. So the first time he shoots the NBA 100, he shoots and makes 111 points, which is tremendous. But the record was 207. And Phil said he went over to the corner, put his hands on his head like he had just lost an NBA championship. And he looked at him and said one word. He said, again. And over he got the ball again. And he really focused in and started shooting. And that time he scored 311 points. He broke the record for all the NBA players that he had been working with. Phil had been. And let me tell you what that translates into. That translates into 311 shots out of 321 shots. That's 96.8% from the three-point line and a step or two in. And Phil said, that is incredible. And from that, he said, I've got to get better. So he started shooting 700 shots in the morning and 700 shots in the afternoon to make one shot at the end of the game when it was necessary. So the 30-foot three-point line became 37 feet, 36 feet, all for a shot to win a game. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Damian Lillard is trying to win an NBA championship. By the way, in the last six games that he's played this year, the last six games, he's averaged 48 points a game. He scored 61 the other night. Just raining three-point shots down on everybody that would guard him because he just keeps getting farther back, makes quick shots, and he's deadly accurate. Why? Because he shoots 1,400 shots a day. Now, so run that you may obtain. That's Damian Lillard's mindset. I'm going to shoot that I can win. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. The O'Brien Trophy is the NBA trophy for championships. And that's what Damian Lillard's working toward. The only problem is, notice what it says here, it's a corruptible crown. If you get one, it's going to be put into some museum someplace, and over time, how many of you have got trophies and medals that are in some box? Let me see your hand. Okay? One of these days, those kind of trophies will be the same way. Why? Because they're corruptible crowns. They're important for a time. But notice what he says, but we, an incorruptible crown. And so in verse 26, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, not with an unclear goal. So find I not as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing, but I keep my body under my body and bring it into subjection. Now notice, if you would, in this passage, it references an athlete winning a gold medal. It references an athlete winning an O'Brien Trophy. Or it references an athlete like we just saw in the Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl trophy. But I want to ask you this. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 16. Now, it referenced and said, but we an incorruptible. So what is he talking about? We an incorruptible when crown is assumed. We an incorruptible crown. What is he talking about? We could win. Well, notice with me, if you would, in Matthew 16, and Jesus tells his disciples in verses 21, he says, I'm going to go into Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer many things and I'm going to die and be raised again. And Peter begins to rebuke him and says, oh, no, Lord, you can't do that. In verse 23, but he turned unto Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You know what he's doing? He's saying, look, you've got to get behind me because that is not what I'm interested in. I'm not here. I'm not here to bring the kingdom. I'm here to die for your sin. But Peter did not understand that. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 23, he says, for thou savorest, or you have no understanding, you don't think of the things that be of God. Now, let that statement soak in. You're not thinking the things of God. Are we? The things that last forever. But those that be of men. Those that are corruptible. And then he said in verse 24, then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, if any man wants to be like me, if any man will follow me, notice what he says, let him deny himself. Now this word deny is in an it's got an apo at the front of it, which it means absolutely deny himself. To absolutely say no to himself. So the first thing is that you and I have to have a self-discipline, a character within that prevents us from going after the things that we want without permission from the God of heaven. Few statements. We want the lifestyle of sin without the bondage of sin. We want the ability to be bitter towards someone or to be mad at someone, but not the penalty of sin for doing it. We want the joy of immorality from time to time, or the wrong thoughts, or covetousness, and the idea of I want this thing or I want that, and we dwell on it without the penalty of the sin of it. But spiritual character is this. It's a God-shaped man after Christ's image that lives with self-denial and consistency. That is what godly character is. It's something within you that prevents you from yelling at your mate. It's a self-denial. It's something from within you that keeps you from getting angry at your brother or your sister when they do something that's wrong. It's a self-denial. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You've got to have spiritual character first. Who we are versus who God wants us to be. How do we get there? And that's really tonight what I want to speak to you about. Who we are versus who God wants us to be. A temporal goal, things that I want, versus what God wants, eternal goals. This spiritual quality is the integrity inside that disciplines us to a life pleasing to Christ. It's the integrity inside that disciplines us to a life pleasing to Christ. Do you have that? Do you have the inward discipline to treat your mate right with your words all the time? Let your speech be always with grace, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Do you understand? It is not 96.8 accuracy. It's 100%. Always. Where are the Christians, all of us in this room, that say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want a marriage like what you want. I want a home like what you want. I want to be a teenager like what you want. We need young people like that. Young people that have a dream not to shoot 96.8 shots for something that who cares in 20 years? But something that's eternal. And do you realize if you have a sweet home, the benefits are eternal. You're going to get to heaven, the Lord's going to say, well done. I'm proud of the way you treated that girl I gave you. I'm proud of the way you treated that man that I gave you. I'm proud of you. Do you realize he said there's gold, silver, and precious stones for every day that we live? If you have the right goals and the right dreams and the integrity to get there? Now let me just give you four quick things. Number one, we all need salvation. And the reason being, and I'm not going to dwell there, but we need salvation because when we become God's child, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to win. Everybody in this room needs to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us to victory. All of us. The more we yield to the Holy Spirit, and the next one, the first S is salvation. Second S is surrender. We need to surrender our heart to the Lord to say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to guide my life. No one will ever have a sweet marriage without that total surrender. Now let me sit back up. You can have a sweet marriage for a week. Or a week out of a month. Or 6 months out of 9 months. Or 10 months out of 12 months. Or 4 years out of five. But I didn't want that. I want it every day that I live. I don't want to get up one day and say, this is a throwaway day. I'm going to do what I want today. And this day's not going to matter. I'm going to take that day out of my life. And I'm going to tear it out. I'm going to throw it away. That's what we do when we decide not to surrender that day to the Lord. So when you get up in the morning, is that a tearaway day? Or is that an eternal day? The discipline from within. Notice the word, if you would, in verse number 24 of Matthew 16. He says, but let him deny himself. Say no to himself. Every great athlete has got to deny himself. When he's pushed to the limit, he's got to say, I got to go another step. Did you know 40,000 a year would like to be Navy SEALs, but only 1,000 are selected to go to camp? And only 250 of them make it. From 40,000 to 250. Why? Really, there's one big thing they always say. It's the character to never say quit. From the time they start, you hear almost the entire time that bell ring. Whenever you're done, you can't take any more, you crawl over to the bell at the ship and you ring the bell 3 times and they let you out of the program. It's called voluntary retirement, voluntary quitting. You're just going to get out voluntarily. You and I have to have the surrender to say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. Now, in that, we cannot continue to serve sin. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. I want you to see this verse. 1 John chapter 5. Notice with me if you would. 1 John chapter 5. Verse number 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous to us. So the first measure of surrender is, Lord, I want to obey Your word, and I want to do it with joy. I don't want it to be something that I'm forcing myself to do. Lord, I want You to give me the joy of discipline, the joy of doing what is right. Lord, the joy of keeping Your commandments. Lord, that's what I want. I don't want it to be grievous to me. I want to fall in love with You. Lord, I surrender my life to You. Boy, we need some teenagers that surrender their lives to the Lord. And say, Lord, I'm Yours. If you have your Bible, turn with me, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want you to notice in verse number 25, he says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. The word temperate, ekritos, is the word self-disciplined. He learns the same kind of concept as deny self. He learns to eat the right things, to sleep right. He learns to, when he's running, and his legs get on fire and his lungs are burning, he learns to say another step, another step, another step, another step, until he completes his task. Whenever a couple and there's difficulty and one of them says, look, I'm going to take one more time. Lord, I'm going to do this for You. Lord, I want to love You and I want You to give me the grace to, Lord, I surrender my life to You no matter what. As a young person, Lord, I surrender my life to You, Lord, and to my parents. I surrender. There is no victory without surrender. You have to look at the Lord and say, Lord, I'm Yours. We got to have some people that surrender their lives in order to win an incorruptible crown. And you know when he says, deny himself and take up his cross. You know what a cross is? It's a symbol of death. You have to say, Lord, I surrender. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Lord, I surrender. I'll be like that lamb that's tied up, throat slit, and blood is shed. Lord, I'll be like a dead person. I surrender. No will of my own. No desires of my own. Folks, that takes the Holy Spirit to guide you into what you want is what I want. We've got to have some young people like that. We've got to have some adults like that. Now, I want you to understand this. Let's take it over to a marriage. God wants sweet homes. He wants husbands and wives to love each other beyond measure. You know what the command for a husband is? It's almost an impossible command. It is without the Holy Spirit. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. You forget yourself. If your wife doesn't give you much back, doesn't matter. What did we give Jesus back? When he's dying on the cross for us, he says, Father, pay him back. He says, Lord, forgive him. Why can't we forgive our husbands or wives easily, quickly, totally? There's no one in this room that's perfect. You can marry 1,000 women as Solomon did, but you won't find one perfect. So you're going to have to do the exact same thing. You're going to have to come to the point and say, Lord, I surrender. Lord, I'll forgive her no matter what. I'll love her no matter what. Lord, I'll do it because that's your command for me. Husbands, love your wives as I love the church and gave himself for it. Lord, I'll do that. Will you surrender to do that? That's one of the steps of sweetness of home. When you take yourself out of the equation and say, Lord, I just want to love her no matter what. I get back. And then a wife, she says, I surrender, Lord, to you. I surrender to my husband. Lord, I'm yours. Young people, surrender to your parents. Look, if your parents ask you to do something, surrender. Otherwise, take the page out of that day and throw it away. Rip it out and throw it away. I'm not going to do what my parents say. Tear it out. That's what you're doing. And you just wasted another day God gave you. How many days are you willing to waste? I grew up with kids that threw out pages all the time. And they're ruined. They're bankrupt. They're on their third marriage. Their lives are not happy. But they did it their way. But they're not happy. I want you to know, I did the things the Lord's way because that was all I knew. I just didn't want what I was seeing. And the Lord blessed, and wow, how wonderful it is if you just surrender. You got to deny yourself. You got to look at the mirror and say, I'm not important. Lord, what do you want me to do? You're important. You look at yourself as a wife and say, I'm not important. How can I be a blessing to my husband? Young people, look in the mirror and say, I'm not important. How can I be a blessing to my parents? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you all of a sudden just said, I'm going to clean the house for no good reason? Let's call 911 to your parents. I mean, what would it be wrong with you just saying, look, I'm going to go wash the dishes tonight, Mom. I like to cook tonight, Mom. Now, don't kill anybody, but, you know, practice something. I mean, you know, you can fix peanut butter, jelly, and bread. I'm fixing tonight. That's good. Okay? But where are the young people that have that spirit? I surrender. Otherwise, take the page of February the 11th tomorrow and throw it out, or 10th tomorrow and throw it out. Just tear it out of your life. Because when you get to heaven, it's going to be gone unless you surrender it. Every young person, you don't have the power to overrule God. You will pay the price. When you stand before God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that day is going to be burned up and gone forever. And everything you did that was a joy for you is gone. It's a temporary, corruptible goal. Surrender. And then, see your dreams. See your dreams. Dream a little bit. Where are the parents that dream for a marriage that's heavenly? I mean, that's what you focus on. I just want to be the best wife that the Lord has ever made. I want to be the best wife that I can be, Lord, for your sake. I surrender. You have to forget yourself. You have to surrender. You'll have to keep that goal in your mind when you get up in the morning. This morning I'm going to get up. What can I do for my husband? What can I do for my husband? He's at work. When he comes home, what can I do for him? Or I'm working. I can't wait to get home. See my husband. What can I do for him today? How can I be a blessing for him? I heard of a Valentine's Day gift. A man loved his wife, and so he took little capsules, pill capsules, and he wrote on a little piece of paper, a sweet saying, put it in a pill capsule, and said, my prescription for you, honey, is every day this year I want you to pull out a pill and open it up. Take it. She'd pull out a capsule, open it up. I'm going to treat you the best I can today. I love you. 365 days, she pulled out a pill capsule. I wonder what you would have thought if you were that woman. Wow. He spent hours doing this. He must love me. There's no age limit on that. Thinking about your life. If you're married today, you still have the chance. If you're a young person and the Lord provides you with a mate, you have the chance. Don't ruin it now. Don't steal today what's tomorrow's. Surrender. See your dreams. See a dream. If you have your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3. Very quickly. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What things? My dreams. What things? My dreams. What dreams do you have? Look, don't settle for a mediocre marriage. Did you know the average person can only have a few goals in life? You can't have 20 goals and reach them all. We're not made. I know we're made to multitask. But you know why they say don't text and drive? Because we can't multitask with things that are important. So there's some things that are really important. So pick 3 goals and say, these goals I'm going to build my life around. I'm going to be in the image of Christ. Goal number 1. I'm going to take my life and make it like Jesus Christ. Number 2, I'm going to have the sweetest marriage that is on the face of the earth that Dave Pittman can have, that you can have. That's what I'm going to do. And number 3, I'm going to hear 2 words when I die. Well done. And so my whole life is going to be geared on those 3 goals. Pick your 3 goals. But if you pick a goal and say, I want to drive a Mercedes, you're going to leave it here. Well, I want to get a PhD in molecular engineering. You're going to leave it here. Nothing wrong with it, but you're going to leave it here. Subject that goal to the goals of God. That may be underneath being the great Christian that you can be in the image of Christ. But put him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things should be added unto you. The way to be blessed of God is putting him first, not yourself. Young people, surrender your heart to your parents. Surrender your heart to the Lord. Well, you might as well just take that page and throw it away. You know, it's a sad thing when somebody takes 10 years of their life and rips a page out every day and throws it out. You ever seen a book with that much of it missing? That's what's going to happen. He said, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In other words, our goals are eternal. What is it that is your eternal goal? Don't ever give up on your dream. See your dreams. Lord, what is it you'd like for me to do? Lord, I want to see a dream. I want to do things for you. Dream about being in the will of God and dream about being in the image of Christ. So what does that mean? That means every word that I speak, I'm going to have to be careful and pass it through the filter of God. Lord, is this okay? So you stop cursing. You stop yelling. You stop being sarcastic. You stop being bitter with your words. All of a sudden, your words start building other people up. You start being pleasant. You start being good. You become in the image of Christ. The Holy Spirit changes you. You can't do it by yourself. But take a little time and lay your heart on the altar and say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I want my dreams to be your dreams. I had a dream of being a missionary. Going someplace in the world where people hadn't heard much and telling them of Christ. And the Lord said, no. 31 years ago, the Lord said, no. And my wife and I both disappointed. He brought us here. This was not what I wanted. But I turned around and looked back. Oh, it's beyond my wildest expectation. I'm so grateful. I couldn't have gone to the mission field. Susan wouldn't have lasted 5 years. When I would go to see Jeremy and Mandy in Sorote. Now, you got to remember, you're going to fly from here to Amsterdam or from here to England. And you're going to get on a plane. You go from there to Nairobi, Kenya. Or you're going to go from there to wherever and hop over to Entebbe. Then you're going to get in their vehicle and you're going to drive for 6-7 hours on some of the worst roads you've ever seen in your life. And then you're going to get there, and my wife, you know, is a diabetic, and so whenever she would go low, there's no medical help. I cannot tell you the number of times I called 911 to bring her back at 2 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. I would sleep, and I'd wake up with my arm on her to see if she was still warm, regularly, or to see if she was clammy, to know if she was low. And I'd feel her, she would cram it. I'd jump out of bed and I'd check her and I'd, honey, wake up. And if she couldn't wake up, then I'd go get the tester and I'd test her. She's bit 31. I said, oh my goodness. I tried to give her the shot and I couldn't bring her back. And so, Lord, I got to call 911. I called them and they would come and I said, Lord, how could I do that in Sorote, Uganda? The Lord says, you don't have to worry about that. I got it. I'm going to send you to Leesburg where the paramedics can get there in 5 minutes. I said, Lord, thank you. You're smarter than I am. And I still get to serve. All I'm trying to say to you is God's way is best. You can't outthink the Lord. You cannot. Don't even try. See your dreams. Lord, I want what you want. If everyone in this room could win an O'Brien trophy, NBA trophy, or the Lombardi trophy, NFL trophy, we'd be happy for 11 months and 311 months and 28 days till the next guy won it. And then they're the champions and you're not. Who won the fifth NFL championship, the fifth Super Bowl? Does anybody know? Anybody know? How about 6th Super Bowl? Anybody know who won the 6th Super Bowl? How about the 7th Super Bowl? You mean one of the greatest events, billions and billions of dollars worldwide, hundreds of millions of people watch, and you don't remember who won the 5th, 6th, 7th Super Bowls? So how important are they? But the Lord Jesus says, I remember every sweet word you say. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account of in the day of judgment. If he remembers every idle word, every word that doesn't matter because it's gone out of the book, he remembers every good word you say. Can you imagine everything you do right? A reward in heaven. Gold, silver, precious stone. Live for something that matters. Walk into heaven where the Lord says, boy, I was proud of the way you treated your wife. I was proud of the way you treated your husband. No wife is perfect. No husband is perfect. You don't always get treated right, but you can always treat them right. No parent is perfect. They don't always make the right decisions for you. They don't always do the right thing, but they're still your parents. And when you obey them without question and you obey the Lord without question, God says, I'm going to bless that. And he will. He'll take their mistake and make it your blessing. But you have to trust him. And then notice quickly, Not only we have to have salvation because of the Spirit of God that gives us the strength, we have to surrender our hearts. We have to see the dreams of God, but then we have to strive to accomplish our goals. If you'll notice, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 will close. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery, striveth for the victory, is temperate. Striving, agonizomai. It's the word we didn't have an English word for it, so we brought it over in English, agonize. It's to grind, it's to suffer, it's to work hard, it's to sweat, it's to forget yourself, it's to push yourself beyond your limits to the point where you reach the victory level. You become masters. You become someone that can look at sin and say, I'm not going to do that. You can look at the wrong words and say, I'm not going to say those. You can look at the wrong thoughts and say, I'm not going to think those. You can have victory in your life. And that is worth far more than all the money in the world when you're free from the power of sin. That's what I want for young people. That's what I want for you as families. I want you free from the power of sin so that you can be free to treat your mate wonderfully. We must be determined if you're going to strive. We must be disciplined if you're going to strive. And we must be desperate. You know, desperation causes us to do miraculous things. Very few Christians are desperate. Desperate to please the Lord. In other words, you sort of throw everything else out to try to please Him. I've been desperate. I've been desperate to try to get Susan to the doctor. I remember one time, I remember one time I was preaching it, and I looked down at the front row and Susan went out like this. She was laying on the front row and I had to, in the middle of the sermon, I said, what do? Do I stop the service? I can tell she's going out. And I motioned over for Brother Sutton. I said, Brother Sutton, could you come over here and sit down by my wife? Mrs. Sutton, you want to sit down by my wife? And they came over and they began to notice her and take care of her and try to, they pulled out of her purse to get her a shot and tried to bring her back. And I remember the desperation of my heart, Lord, preaching and praying at the same time. Lord, would you take care of her? I can remember being at church. She was too sick to come to church, and I called her. And by the answer on the phone, I could tell she was low. Honey, go to the pantry. Okay. Roll over to the pantry. Is the pantry door open? Yes, get the sugar out. Okay. Take a spoon and take a spoonful of sugar. Okay. And then my phone went dead. I was desperate. Jeremy, go to the house. You're ahead of me. He didn't have the keys. I remember the desperation in many places. Lord, help me to be that desperate to please you. Glenn Cunningham was a young boy, 9 years old. 1920s. He was in a schoolhouse, and his and his brother's job to go to the schoolhouse and, you know, put kerosene in the oven, in the stove, and heat the school, get ready for the kids to come. Somehow got confused and they got gasoline and poured it in. It blew up. Killed his brother. Burned his legs from the waist down to the point where the doctors came in and said, look, we need to amputate both legs. And he was so distraught that his parents said, we can't do that. Look at him. Please don't do that. So months and months and months. It was 2 years before he walked again. It burned the transverse arch, basically the bottom of his shoe. I mean, the bottom of his foot, the ball of his foot. It was pretty well gone. They said, you'll probably never walk again. Glenn Cunningham said, I'm going to walk again. So, after a couple of years, he could get up and walk a little bit. Mom, you need anything? I'll go to the store. I think the store is a mile and a half away. I'll go to the store. Get bread. Then one day, Mom, I'm going to go to the store and get. A few years after that, went to high school, and he realized he had developed a certain determination that the other boys and girls didn't have. He realized he had taken a difficulty and turned it into a determination. And now he could run further and faster than the other boys because he desired to. So he began to run. He ran in high school and he would run, and he didn't have the same physical abilities everybody else had. But he just kept up and kept up and kept up. Did you know that Glenn Cunningham was the world record holder, the last one before the 4-minute mile was broken? The fastest man on earth at a mile. With heavy cleats that Roger Bannister and some of the other world-class athletes said, not one of us would dare to wear what he wore. You know what he said? I can do it. If a little 9-year-old boy could take a malady of you can't and determine to say I can, why can't we take this book and say, Lord, I'll use it to make every day count for you? Where are the great marriages? You can have one. But you got to deny yourself. It's not what you get out of it, it's what you can give. You got to take up your cross. You got to do for somebody else without expecting anything in return, like Jesus did. You got to follow him. Tonight, every one of us can be a winner. Because you're not racing against somebody else. You're racing against your own flesh. Will you say no to self and yes to Christ? Will you say, no, I'm not going to have a marriage like anybody else. I'm going to have the one that you want me to. You can put enough pressure on your mate to make it where God breaks their heart and they're willing to surrender. I'll read you one verse. I'll close. Wives, be in subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, he's an ungodly man. They may, without the word of God, without ever quoting this verse of scripture to them, be won by the conversation of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation, whose adorning, let it not be with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair, not the way you look, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible. It's an eternal reward. The heart of the sweetest wife on earth, it's an eternal reward. It's incorruptible. That which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Where are those women? Where are the men that say, the ornament of my spirit is going to bring glory to you, God? Where are the young people that say, the ornament of my spirit is going to bring glory to you, God? Where are the Damian Lillards or the Glenn Cunninghams or the Navy SEALs among the servants of God. Tonight, the only thing stopping you is you. Let's pray. We're going to have a word of prayer. Could I get you to dream a little bit tonight? Could I get you to pour your heart out tonight to the Lord and dream a little bit? Oh, folks, we need dreamers. We need soldiers that can deny themselves. Where are the great marriages? Could I plead with you tonight? Where are the great young people? Could I plead with you tonight to come to this altar and surrender? Lord, I'm yours. I don't want tomorrow to be torn out of my life. Could I plead with you tonight to dream for Christ? We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. Brother Brandon's going to lead us, page 635. I have decided to follow Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if 30 men came to this altar and said, I've decided to build a great home, and I'm going to be first. Or wives, I've decided to change my home. I'm going to be first. Or young people, I've decided to make my home sweet, put pressure on my parents to show them the way. I'm going to surrender to Christ. Lord Jesus, tonight, I know that you dream big for the people of Temple Baptist Church, and you can back it up. Lord Jesus, would you help us to take on your dreams for our lives? In your precious name I pray. Amen.